A hesped, as the Rambam explains, is said for the cover of the mace. It's a mitzvah gedola and a tremendous achrayus. We see even this week's parsha that when Yaakov Avinu is mace, it's Shvatim, it says, Vayispedu sham misped gadol v'chaved ma'od. Darkei Moshe explains that the mace knows and hears everything said in his or her presence until the kvura. While it's a tremendous mitzvah, it's excruciatingly difficult. I saw in the Ksav of Kabbalah that the Lashon of Avel is related to Bilbul, because Machshavosav Mubulbalim Ve'ein Lehem Seder Karoi. The thoughts get confused, and they're not organized. Bechi, the Yimei Bechi, are also from the Lashon of Mavucha, he says, also from confusion. I think for a son to be maspid a mother is even more challenging. To a mother, you owe everything. You owe your life. You owe your values. To a mother who gives as much as my mother did, to put into words what you owe her and to try to capture the essence and the kavod is very difficult. I don't know if it can be done, and I don't know if I can do it. This past Shabbos, on Friday night, right after Tzeis Kochavim on Friday night, my mother, Ilona Bas Tzvi Alevi, Alea Shalom, breathed her last breath at the age of 78. I thought at the time, I know there's an inyan of a special zchus if one is niftar on Shabbos. My mother in her life had a special hashkacha, special zchus, and I want to stress the 78, which by today's standards may not seem that old, close to the age of Gevurah, but for my mother to live to 78 was a nace. She had suffered, my mother, for over four decades from extreme heart disease, and other illnesses. Yet she was zocha to live that long. She had been told by doctors, many of the very best doctors in the world, that she wouldn't live to see 50, and she wouldn't live to see 60. A few years ago, one of her doctors told me, one of the top cardiologists in the world, that with my mother's heart condition and heart function, if she were alive at all, she should be in bed doing nothing. Yet at that time, she was still going about doing many things, and his words were, she lived on her will to live alone. It's just her will to live. And while my mother had a very strong will to live, very strong, we know it was a special gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that gave her the time to see her children grow into adults, that gave her the time to see her grandchildren grow up, to have relationships with them. We know it was a special gift to let her continue to do her Maisim Tovim and to try to impact the world in the positive way that she did. And we know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants such an unusual gift outside of Teva, there's a meaning and a purpose to such a gift. We don't know exactly what that is, and I certainly am not going to be here to tell you that, but I can try to convey a little bit of her life and how we, her descendants, have been shaped by her. My mother was born in Boston in 1939, Tafresh Tzadi Tess. She was born into a special family, special Masorah. She was born to my wonderful grandparents, Harry and Shalamath, or Shana Meiselman, Zichrona Levracha. She was named for her great-grandmother, the wife of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. She was raised in the shadow in Boston of her uncle, of Rav Yosha Ber Soloveitchik, who made a very big impact on my mother and on how we were raised in our family. She was raised at a time when Jewish education in America was very weak. It was just concept of having Jewish schools was just starting. My mother was amongst the first classes to graduate. I think she might have been the fourth from Maimonides School. She watched her mother, my grandmother, travel around trying to set up Jewish schools. That impacted her, instilled in her a desire to make sure and an understanding of the value of Torah and educating your children to move in that direction. The family Hashpo continued when she moved to New York. She lived with her uncle, Shmuel Soloveitchik. She's very close with her uncle and spent a lot of time with Aaron Soloveitchik. And these experiences from those years with them shaped how she spoke to her children, shaped how she spoke to her grandchildren. Her grandmother, Rebbetzin Pesher Soloveitchik, also was a frequent visitor in our house with stories from my mother. My mother, when she left Boston to go to New York, attended Barnard College, obtained graduate degrees and certificates from Columbia, from Harvard, from OISE. She was married to my father for 56 years. They cared for each other. She was an elementary school teacher, a counselor, a lecturer, a professor. She was a wife, a mother, a grandmother. She wrote poetry, was very creative. She loved all children. She loved all children, but particularly her grandchildren, who by Hashem's special gift were able to know her and have a relationship with her. She was in our house often, every Pesach, the entire Pesach, every Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos, many Shabboses. We were with her, we were on the phone all the time. But to try to encapsulate the influence, the impact, I want to focus on two salient characteristics, two midos, which were very meaningful, I know, to me, and which guide me and influence me. And I know my sister, and I think and I hope my children. My mother was an Oev Chesed. Caring, compassion, empathy were not just what she did, but they were part of her very mahus, her very identity. Almost any conversation with her, particularly over the last decades, was raised with some issue of chesed or another, some care for somebody, something that was problematic. She understood chesed not just as something she wanted to do in good, but really a part also of her family Masorah, from Reb Chaim and Reb Eli. If she heard or saw something that she felt didn't contribute or wasn't guided by the chesed that she felt was right, she would always say to us, "That's not the Torah of my family. For us, chesed is paramount." Some examples, even when she was a teacher for many years in elementary school, her strength was the caring and compassion for her students and the influence she had on them, so much so that many decades later, when I was a young adult, these students who are now in their 30s and late 20s would come up to me and say, that I would meet, I didn't regularly see them, that your mother was amongst the most influential people in my life. When teaching became difficult for her because of her illnesses and the need to more restrict her activities, she moved to help counseling, to help counsel people in need, people who were having trouble. She would regularly visit residents of nursing homes in her community every Shabbos and other days. Even in her building, she would locate people who otherwise were all alone and had no family coming to visit them, and she would go and visit them. Anybody she thought within her ambit that she thought needed some human contact, she would do her best to try to visit them. She wrote about caring, and she put caring into action. She helped the forlorn, the lonely. She particularly was concerned when a woman was an aguna who couldn't get remarried, to be sympathetic and empathetic to them. These were all very important. She also had a very special sensitivity because of her empathy and would intuit when people were unhappy or upset. Even towards the end, when often she was confused and maybe not necessarily there, she would intuit that maybe somebody was unhappy and would say, even didn't appear she had been paying attention, and suddenly she'd say, "Why is so-and-so unhappy?" And the person hadn't said anything. But in fact, she was right. She not only transmitted this value to us, she demanded it of us as children and from her grandchildren. A second midah that I take from my mother and I think of was what I'll call a form of gevurah, a certain heroism or strength in facing the trials and tribulations that came from the many illnesses that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on her during her life. But my mother didn't treat it as something to limit her, or she tried not to. She always fought to do more. She had an extraordinarily strong will to live. She had an extraordinarily strong will to do things, to help. And when she set her mind to doing something, even when it made no sense, she would go and get it done. She was never, when I would sometimes say, you know, I'm not sure that's something that you can do, she would say, you know, yes, I can. Sometimes she was right, sometimes she was wrong. But in her mind, she wasn't restricted. In the all the years she suffered from these various problems, I never heard her say, at least to me, you know, this is really unfair. Why is it? It's not fair what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing to me. She would always push ahead and try to do more. She wanted to accomplish more, to help. Every Rosh Hashanah, before Rosh Hashanah, she would always call me and say, I need to have a better year next year. What am I doing wrong? I need to daven better. I need to do this better. She would come and spend Rosh Hashanah, and this is what she would talk about. She had a very deep sense of emunah that permeated her attitude towards her suffering and her challenges. Even as recently as a few weeks ago, when she had broken her shoulder and had a series of other things that she couldn't walk, her attitude was still, okay, I'm going to get better, and then I'm going to go to do this chesed with this organization or try to help with this problem. In her mind, as I said, even when it was something she couldn't do and even when she never did it, this is what she wanted to be doing. She just wanted to be helping and wanted to be doing things. Just last week, when in the time period when she was still in the hospital, one of my children had pointed out to her that her uncle, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, had suffered a stroke and had difficulty walking and used to go give shir, even in the face of that. It would take him a very long time to go, and yet he continued to do that, and that even in the face of injuries, she should persist. And she told me when she got off the phone, she was comforted, and that's what she was going to do. So family, this is what she wanted to do and how she should live. The strong will to live also meant she wouldn't speak about the possibility of death. Except for one thing, she wanted to be buried in Israel. She wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. That she had said many times. We're so happy that we could give her the kavod of doing that. There's really so much more. She touched and inspired us. She motivates us. There's a gaping hole in our lives, but we are so grateful to Kadosh Baruch Hu that we had so many more decades with her than maybe Derech HaTeva we should have. Tei Nishmasa Tzrura B'Tzrura Chaim.